For the last 6 weeks, we've been asking the question, how is your heart? Stemming from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 to 19, which gives us the warning today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the day of provocation in the wilderness. And so we want to make sure that the hearts of our people are not hardened to the things of God. So we are looking at the condition of one's heart by asking and answering the questions, do you have a hard heart? How do you know your heart is being hardened to the truth of God? Or do you have a soft heart, and how do you know your heart is soft? And so we've been looking at that over the last 6 weeks. We looked at the book of Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 26, where the Lord God says, give me your heart. Why? Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And Proverbs 4 tells us that we are to guard our hearts, because from your heart flow every issue in life. And so your heart is all that matters. The question comes, we need to examine our heart to see where it is in light of what God's word says. So we ask the question, how is your heart? And we looked at the characteristics of the hard heart, and to be able to help you understand if you are going down that road. And we began 2 weeks ago looking at the characteristics of the soft heart and asking the question, do you have a heart that's soft to the things of God? We began by saying that a soft heart is a seeking heart. It seeks after God. And we know that no man seeks after God. That's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, which is a quotation from the book of Psalms in the Old Testament. And yet, the Bible says, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you seek for me with all of your heart. And so the soft heart is a seeking heart, because it's responding to the call of God upon its life. And so you understand that you have a soft heart because you are seeking after the things of God. We talked about that. And then that seeking heart is a shattered heart. It's a broken and contrite heart. It's been shattered because of its sin. It's been broken over the fact that it's at rebellion against God. And therefore, the reason it seeks God is because it's a broken and contrite heart. It is a shattered heart. That's why we preach the word of God. Jeremiah 23:29 says that when God's word is preached, it shatters the heart. It shatters the soul. It breaks it up so it's soft and can receive the truth of God's word. So you have a seeking heart, you have a shattered heart, and now thirdly, that heart that's soft is a submissive heart. It is a submissive heart. A broken heart, a heart that seeks after God, wants to do what God says. How do you know your heart is not hard? You want to do what God says. You are submissive to the truth of God's holy word. Listen to Psalm 119, verse number 102. Psalm 119, 102. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. In other words, the psalmist says, I'm not going to turn aside from what you have said, because you yourself have taught me. I want to do what you say. I want to submit myself to you. It says in Psalm 119, verse number 112, I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever, even to the end. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, verse number 17. But thanks be to God that through you, that though you were, slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. You were once slaves of sin, but now you are obedient from the heart because you have been born again. There's a certain characteristic of the soft heart that truly is submissive to the things of God. That's what Israel's problem was. They were unwilling to submit to what God had said in his word. That's why when you go back to Psalm 78, verse number 8, we talked about this on Wednesday night. Psalm 78, verse number 8, when Asaph is giving a record of Israel's history. He says, do not be like your fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Remember, we talked about on Wednesday night that one of the issues in your home is to be able to have parents who are submissive to the authority of God's word in their lives, because that translates over to the lives of their children. And if you're not submitting to God's word as parents, then you are giving your children the idea that they don't have to submit to a higher authority as well. And so Asaph is saying in Psalm 78 that your stubborn and rebellious fathers, they did not prepare their heart. They were not willing in their spirit to follow what God said. Instead, they rebelled against God, and that was Israel's problem. And that's why over and over again you have those admonitions in the scriptures. Listen, 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 because you need to obey what God's word says. But a soft heart truly is a submissive heart. It wants to do what God says in his word. Psalm 19 gives us that dissertation on the word of God. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, it restores the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, it makes wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, they are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, in keeping them there is great reward. So the psalmist says there's something about keeping the word of God that causes there to be a great reward. In other words, a submission to the truth brings great reward. And the soft heart is a submissive heart. It's submissive to all that God says because it's already broken over its sin. It's a shattered heart because it's already seeking after God. It wants to do what God says. Characteristic number 4 of a soft heart is this. A soft heart is a steadfast heart. A steadfast heart. Psalm 57, verse number 7. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. It means firmly attached. Okay? Everybody's heart in the room is attached to someone or something. Okay? The psalmist said, my heart is firmly attached. He reiterates it. My heart is firmly attached. It is steadfast, O Lord. It sticks to you. A heart that's been broken, shattered over its sin, a heart that seeks after God and is submissive to God, firmly attaches itself to the God it submits to. Listen to what it says over in Psalm 112. Psalm 112 says this. It says, the man who fears the Lord, from verse 1, whose descendants are mighty upon the earth, who has wealth and riches in his house, verse number 2, this man shall never be shaken, because the righteous will be remembered forever. And verse 7 says, he will not fear evil tidings, his heart is steadfast. The man who fears the Lord is firmly attached to the Lord. He is steadfast in his heart, trusting in the Lord. His heart, then, verse number 8, is upheld. He will not fear. Isn't that great? The steadfast heart is the heart that's upheld. The steadfast heart is the one that's firmly attached to God. That's the one who doesn't fear the evil tidings. That's the one that will never be shaken because it only fears the Lord. Ask yourself today, do you have a steadfast heart? Remember Isaiah 26? Isaiah 26, verse number 3, the steadfast of mind, and in the Hebrew, both mind and heart are one and the same. The steadfast of heart, the heart that's firmly attached, you will keep in perfect peace. Perfect peace. For he trusts in thee. Isn't that great? The heart that's attached, firmly attached to God, is a peaceful heart. It's at ease. It rests in what God is doing. It trusts in God. That is a steadfast heart. Remember what the Bible says? 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be ye steadfast, firmly attached, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So what are you steadfast about? What are you firmly attached to? Not only are you firmly attached to the Lord God who is your Savior, you're firmly attached to the fact that He is going to come again, because 1 Corinthians 15 is all about the return of the King. So because He's going to come again, the one you have your heart attached to, you can be steadfast, you can be immovable, you can always be abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because your heart is fixed on Him. Wow, that's just so good. How do you know your heart is a soft heart? It is a steadfast heart. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 15. So then, brethren, stand firm. In other words, be steadfast and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. In other words, how are you firmly attached to God? You must be firmly attached to God through the truth that God has given to you. How do you know your heart is fixed upon the Lord God? Because of what God's word does for you. And so Paul says, brethren, be steadfast. How do you do that? You hold to the traditions which you were taught, the word of God, whether by mouth or by letter from us. You hold fast to those things, and you will be steadfast and immovable. Way back in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 23, listen to what Joshua says to the nation of Israel. Verse 6, be very firm. Be very firm. Be steadfast to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, so you may turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, so you will not associate with these nations, these which remain among you, or mention the name of their gods, or make anyone swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you are to cling to the Lord your God. You are to be firmly attached to the Lord your God. You are to be steadfast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out great and strong nations from before you. And as for you, no man has stood before you to this day. One of your men puts to flight 1,000. For the Lord your God is he who fights for you, just as he promised you. So take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. For if you ever go back and you stop clinging to the Lord, you stop being firmly attached to the Lord, and then cling to the rest of these nations, these which remain among you, and intermarry with them, so that you associate with them and they with you, know with certainty that the Lord your God will not continue to drive these nations out from before you, but they will be a snare and a trap to you, and a whip on your sides and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Joshua told Israel, listen, you need to cling to the Lord. You need to be firmly attached to the Lord. Your heart must be steadfast. Because if not, guess what? If you're not firmly attached to the Lord God of Israel, you will now firmly attach yourself to the nations of this world, and you will go after them. And if you do, your life will be like thistles in your eyes and thorns in your side. Your life will be miserable. How many people you know have a miserable life today because they cling to someone else or something else other than the Lord of Israel? You see, God's very clear in his word. You need to stand firm. You need to be steadfast. You need to be firmly and permanently attached, clinging to the Lord. That's what the soft heart does. Listen, if it is seeking God and it has been shattered by the word of God, it now becomes submissive to that truth. And because it is, it wants to hold on to that truth, cling to that, because that's all it has. That's all we have. Clinging to anything else is temporary. Clinging to anything else is futile. Clinging to anything else doesn't last. But clinging to the Lord, it lasts, because he's the anchor of your soul. And that's what the soft heart does. It is steadfast. It is submissive, because it's been shattered and it seeks after God. But on top of that, the soft heart is a singing heart. Did you know that? A singing heart. If you go back to Psalm 57 that we read earlier, it says, my heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises. What is the result of a steadfast heart? A singing heart. How do you know your heart's firmly attached to God? You want to sing praises to God. Why? Because your heart's filled with the joy of the Lord. If you go back to Psalm 9, verse number 1, it says, I will give thanks to the Lord with all of my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. There's something about the soft heart that wants to sing unto the Lord. Psalm 84, verses 1 and 2, say this. How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. My heart and my flesh can't wait to sing. I long for your courts, O Lord. I long to be in your presence, O Lord. And when I get there, I want to sing unto your name. And then over in Psalm 32, it says in verse 11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous one, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. Sing for joy, chapter 33, verse number 1, in the Lord, O you righteous ones, for praise is becoming to the upright. Sing for joy. There's so much to say about the singing heart, but the soft heart can't wait to sing songs of praise and songs of joy to the Lord. You see, when we gather together, God inhabits the praises of his people. What happens when we don't want to sing unto the Lord? It's a heart issue. It deals with the softness of the heart or the hardness of the heart. The soft heart wants to sing, because a soft heart is a steadfast heart. It's firmly attached itself to the God it says it seeks after and submits to. Therefore, that heart can't wait to sing praises to his name. A singing heart. A singing heart. Number 6 is a strong heart. Soft heart's not a weak heart. A soft heart is the strongest of all hearts. The weak heart is a hard heart. But the strong heart is a soft heart. Listen to what the Bible says in Psalm 10, verse number 17. Psalm chapter 10, verse number 17. O Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will strengthen their heart, you would incline your ear. Isn't that great? The humble heart is a soft heart. The humble heart is the shattered heart. The humble heart is the broken heart that seeks after God. And that's the heart that God strengthens. That's the heart that God comes alongside and upholds, lifts up, gives energy to, strengthens, because it trusts in the living God. The psalmist said in Psalm 27, verse number 14, these words. First of all, Psalm 27, verse number 1 says this: "The Lord is the light of my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers come upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumble and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident." Is that you? Do you have a strong heart? It says in verse number 14, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage." Yes, wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Psalm 73 states these words. Psalm 73, verse number 25, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Even though I might physically fail, okay, because of what's happening to me physically, my heart will be strengthened because of the Lord. The nearness of God is my good because he sustains me spiritually. A soft heart is a strong heart. Paul's prayer in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 16 says, "Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word." Paul's prayer for those in Thessalonica, that God would strengthen their hearts because he is the God of all comfort, that he would do that so that every deed and every work they do could be accomplished for the glory of his name. Strong heart. So ask yourself the question, do you have a soft heart? A soft heart is the strongest of all hearts. Not the weakest of hearts, it's the strongest of all hearts. Why? Because that strong heart is a singing heart. That singing heart is a steadfast heart. That steadfast heart is a submissive heart. That submissive heart is a shattered heart. That shattered heart is a seeking heart. That heart is wrapped around God himself. And that's the strongest of all hearts. That's the way every one of us should be. So you can ask yourself, is my heart soft or is my heart strong or hardened to the things of God based on the characteristics of what the Bible says concerning a soft heart? But it goes on. It goes way beyond this. The soft heart is a sensitive heart. Not only is it strong, but it is sensitive. It is a sensitive heart. Psalm 119, verse number 136 says this. Psalm 119, 136. "My eyes shed streams of water because they do not keep your law." My heart or my eyes shed streams of water because they do not keep your law. There's a certain sensitivity of the soft heart toward those who do not keep the law of God. There was a sensitivity of our Lord in the book of Matthew, the 23rd chapter, when he wept over the city of Jerusalem. For how often he wanted to gather them as a mother hen gathers her little chicks, but they would not come. And so Christ wept over Jerusalem. He was sensitive to the fact that these people were unwilling to respond to the truth of the living God. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul said these words, Philippians chapter 3, verse number 17 and verse number 18. Paul made it very clear in Philippians 3 when he said this, "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ." There is a certain sensitivity about the soft heart. It's sensitive to sin. It's sensitive to sinners. It's sensitive to the things of Scripture. The soft heart is in tune with what the Lord God Himself is in tune with. And so I become very sensitive to sin, knowing that when sin erupts or sin arises in my heart, that it's something that needs to be dealt with. But it becomes very sensitive to even those who sin around me and those who are sinners, that they might hear and understand the truth of the gospel. A strong heart is strong because it's sensitive to the things of God. Is your heart sensitive to the things of God? And then on top of that, the heart that is soft, number 8, is a sincere heart. A sincere heart. That is, it's a genuine heart. It's not hypocritical. It is a sincere heart. That's why over in Hebrews 10:22, it says, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart, a genuine heart, an honest heart." Remember in Luke's gospel, the 8th chapter, when the Lord is talking about the good soil, it says this in verse number 15, "But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest or genuine and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance." There is a genuineness. There is a sincerity about their lives. A soft heart is a sincere heart. We are to have a sincere love for the brethren that comes from a sincere heart, a genuine heart. A soft heart is honest, genuine, true, and truly is sincere. On top of that, the soft heart is a sympathizing heart. Not only is it sensitive to sin, but it sympathizes with sinners. Over in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 4, verse number 19, Jeremiah says, my soul, I am in anguish. Oh, my heart. My heart is pounding in me. I cannot be silent because you have heard, oh, my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war." In other words, he knows that judgment is coming. He knows that judgment is coming upon his people. He knows about the captivity of his people. And in the depths of his soul, there's this great sympathy for the fact that his people, the ones that he loves, are going to experience the judgment of God. So he sympathizes with them. The book of Lamentations is all about Jeremiah's weeping for his nation and all the sins of the people and the effects of those sins upon the people. You know, would it be that as a church, we would be more sympathetic to the sinners that we come in contact with every day, knowing of the impending judgment that they're going to face. We tend to be cold and calloused toward the sinners around us, thinking that they deserve what they're going to get, instead of sympathizing with the fact that they are going to be separated from God forever. That's what we said earlier when we talked about in our prayer time, those 11 people that were killed in that Jewish synagogue and those who were wounded. We sympathize with those people, not because they died, but because they died believing they knew the true God, and they don't. That should break our hearts. That should break our hearts. And that causes us to be softened toward the things of God, and would cause us to want to meet the needs of those people, that they would understand the truth of who Jesus Christ is, the true and living God. The soft heart is a sympathizing heart. Why? Because down deep, it is a sincere heart. It's genuine. Has a sincere love for the brethren. Has a sincere attitude toward the things of God. That sincere heart is a very sensitive heart. That sensitive heart is a strong heart, a singing heart, a steadfast heart, a submissive heart, a shattered and broken heart, a seeking heart. The soft heart is a single focused heart, a single focused heart. Psalm 86, verse number 11, the psalmist says these words. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. That is a single heart, a single focused heart. It wants its heart to be united. It doesn't want it to be divided. It doesn't want it to be distracted. Yes, the soft heart is firmly attached to the Lord God of Israel. It clings to the Lord God of Israel. But at the same time, the soft heart cries, Lord, unite my heart to fear your name. Let there be no division in my heart. Let there be no distractions that come within my heart. Unite my heart, Lord. May it be one. May it be singularly focused upon you and you alone, because so easily our hearts can be misdirected. But the soft heart doesn't want that, does it? It does happen, but it doesn't want it, because he truly wants to do the will of the Lord. That's why in Matthew 6, 24, the Lord says that no man can serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other, or you're going to be devoted to one and despise the other, right? You can't serve God and money, or God and wealth, or God and something else. You can only serve one master. Ask yourself, is my heart united to fear the name of God? Is my heart singularly focused upon the Lord God of Israel? That's a soft heart. And then the soft heart is a sanctified heart. It's set apart. It's a holy heart. It's been set apart unto God for his purposes. It's a sanctified heart. That's why Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Set him apart as Lord in your hearts. That is a sanctified heart. It is set apart unto God for his purposes. That is a soft heart. And then the soft heart is a selfless heart. It's not a selfish heart. It truly is a selfless heart. That's why you do the will of God from the heart. That's why over in the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, the 9th verse, Paul says these words, Romans 12, verse number 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Let it be genuine. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. That's the way we are to be. We are to have the kind of hearts that truly want to honor the Lord, that are selfless kind of hearts. The church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. The churches of Macedonia gave selflessly from the heart because they first gave themselves to the Lord. Their hearts were devoted to the Lord. Their hearts were steadfastly set apart unto God and His purposes, which translates out into a selfless kind of heart. So many of us are selfish. We only want for us. We only want people to do for us. But the soft heart is a selfless heart. It only focuses on those around them to meet their need, to see what is up with them and how we can come alongside of them and deal with them. That's the soft heart. It truly is a selfless heart. And a selfless heart is a satisfied heart. The selfless, seeking, shattered, singing, steadfast, submissive heart is a satisfied heart. Listen, why are people selfish? Because they're unsatisfied. Why are people insensitive? Because they're unsatisfied. Why are people arrogant and proud instead of submissive to the God of Israel? Because they're unsatisfied. The soft heart is a satisfied heart. It truly is a spiritual heart. It wants to do what God says. That's why it says over in Psalm 37, these words. Psalm 37. Do not fret because of evildoers, verse 1. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. That's the satisfied heart. It truly rests in God. The satisfied heart is satisfied because it's selfless, and the selfless heart is truly a serving heart. It truly is a serving heart. It wants to serve the Lord God of Israel. It wants to serve others. So you can take the exam yourself. You can look at your own life. You can go through the list. And there are many other words that we could use, many other ways to describe the soft heart in Scripture. All you got to do is read the word of the Lord. But when you do, you can put yourself up against this and say, look, or your children and say, children, look, is this the way your heart is? Is your heart seeking after God? Do you hunger for God? Do you want more of God? Is your heart shattered and broken over your sin? Is your heart submissive to the things of God? Does it willingly want to follow what God's word says? Is your heart steadfast? Does it cling to God? Is it firmly attached to God? Or do you firmly attach your heart to something else or someone else? Is your heart a strong, singing kind of heart because you want to honor the Lord with the praises of your heart? Is your heart sensitive to sin? Is it sensitive to sinners? Is it sensitive to the Savior? Is it sensitive to Scripture? Is your heart a sympathizing kind of heart? Will you sympathize with sinners because they do not know the truth of God's word? Even in Mark chapter 3, when our Lord looked at the Pharisees, he grieved in his heart because their hearts were hardened. He was sympathetic toward them. Even though their hearts were hardened toward him, he was sympathetic toward them. He grieved in his heart. See, that's the soft heart. And we've spent these last 6 weeks looking at the difference between the hard heart, the soft heart, so you can know the difference. So you can look at your life, so you can do some reflection, some self-examination and say, where do I stand with the Lord? What kind of heart do I have? And my prayer for you, for me, is that every one of us would be softened to the things of Scripture, that we might wholeheartedly follow our God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for today. What a joy it is for us to spend time in the Word of the Lord. Oh, Lord, there is so much in Scripture that helps us to understand the soft heart. Lord, may our hearts be tender to the things of God. May our hearts be broken over our sin. May our hearts truly be selfless hearts. Lord, we can become so selfish, thinking only of ourselves. But Lord, we should always be looking outwardly to help those who are in need, to minister to those in our family, to serve those alongside of us. Help us to be a serving kind of people, Lord. Help us to be the kind of people that bring glory to your name. Because in all reality, Lord, we want our Savior's heart. We want your kind of heart. We want the heart that motivated you to do what you do to motivate us to do the things that we do. Lord, may we truly give our hearts to you. May we guard our hearts, protect them for the glory of your name. We ask in the name of our coming King, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.